Hello and welcome to another edition of the Africos. My name is Robin Lichetti and joining me today is Nokulunga.
Hi, hi.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. And how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. It's just the two of us today. Brendan is off enjoying a well-deserved break and Clinton is, his voice is not really that great at the moment.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's a winter change of season. All those nasty things are in there and yeah, people are getting sick.
Because I also had the same problem on Monday.
Yeah, but you seem none the worse for wear, so so let's get cracking. Okay. It's been a relatively busy week. I guess the first thing that we need to chat about is Apple. Mm-hmm. They held their annual WWDC conference earlier this week. I kicked off on Monday evening for people that were tuning into the keynote. And yeah, the WWDC event kind of focuses a lot on the software side of things for the company.
Okay.
So we saw Apple touch on their latest operating systems for iOS. They also introduced a new operating system for the iPads, which is, curiously enough, it's called iPad OS, which is a very creative name they thought of there. We also got to see their latest Mac OS, which is called Catalina. Oh. After an island that's off the coast of California. If I'm
tell me more about that. I just want to know.
we'll touch on all of them as well as a few hardware announcements that Apple made.
Okay.
So I think kind of kicking off, let's touch on iOS 13.
Okay.
Apple didn't perhaps do anything revolutionary here for the iPhone's operating system. This latest version of the operating system now has a dark mode, which you've seen a lot of kind of companies or other software manufacturers kind of gear towards. The kind of upshot of this kind of design is purely less strain on the eyes when you're kind of staring at your iPhone screen late at night.
Okay.
And they say that they have kind of incorporated that dark mode into their entire ecosystem. So the native iOS apps that you have will also feature this similar dark mode.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, so the whole kind of purpose of announcing it at WWDC is so that developers, app developers in particular, can see what new tools Apple has available and can start developing applications that kind of make the most of those tools. Mm-hmm. And we're assuming that they'll be doing the same for iOS 13. So a few of the other things that the new operating system features is a few kind of security measures.
Okay.
So one of the things that Apple has been working on, you might have experienced it yourself, is when you're logging into or signing into an app, they'll often ask you to use your social media account, say your Facebook or Twitter or something like that, or they'll ask you to log in with your email address or some kind of contact number or something to that effect. So Apple's been kind of been banging on this drum of privacy and security. So they've got a new tool called App Sign In with Apple. So essentially what it'll do, one of the things it can do, rather, is it can create a fake email address for you. So if you start getting, for example, spam from a particular app developer or some kind of online platform or whatever, and you don't no longer want to get them, you simply cancel your subscription or profile with that app. And you don't actually have to worry about having used your original email address that you might use for other services.
Wow.
Which is quite handy.
It is, eh?
I'm not too sure if there's going to be any pushback from developers in terms of kind of allowing Apple to do this. For the most part, it doesn't seem like there's been too much adverse reaction in, amongst developers. So it should be interesting to see how Apple kind of moves forward with in terms of security and privacy for their users. It seems like a really big sticking point for the company and something that they touched on quite a bit at WWDC.
That's a good thing, actually. I think most of us do receive spam mails, so you know if there's an email address on the site that is not actually sort of registered to you, then it can receive those spam mails, then it's good.
Yeah,
because you have to always clean up your inbox all the time, so it's sort of annoying.
Well, I think also perhaps equally as important is the fact that gives users a bit more control in terms of who can actually access their information and who has contact with them. That's so good. Hopefully, this tool isn't available to the public just yet. Like a lot of things that's announced at WWDC, it's available to developers for now. Then head into the beta phase later this month.
Okay.
And then Apple said the fall of this year, which is essentially the third quarter.
Okay.
Most of the software and hardware that was announced at WWDC will be available to the public, depending in what region you are. Usually in South Africa, we get it maybe a month or two later. So we'll see how that goes. Just to finish off on iOS 13, one of the other, I guess, more interesting things that they included for this version of the operating system is a few new camera editing tools, just to make it easier for their users. This is something I'm not really too interested in, but I guess other people are, is Memojis, so animated emojis.
Oh.
So people will essentially scan their face and create a little animated emoji for them that they can message one another with. And yeah, so...
That's cute, though.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a cute feature to have. I personally don't really get involved with that kind of stuff. It's just not my thing. But yeah, I guess
if you like emojis too, like you like sending emojis, then I think that's gonna be good news for you.
Yeah, well, one of the interesting things that Apple's done now is they have actually added more customization tools.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to kind of change the hairstyle, hair color, the makeup, give your emoji like piercings if you want to. So they added a whole bunch of customization tools. And they also added a stickers feature. Mm-hmm. So you can, for example, take your unique Memoji and have it have stickers for a whole bunch of different things, like maybe iHearts or things like that.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a cool feature, actually.
Yeah, personally, it's not going to be a selling point. It's not going to be a reason why I buy an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for current iPhone users, I'm sure it'll be pretty handy to have.
It is.
So then some of the other things that Apple did, we mentioned a bit earlier, iPad OS. Mm-hmm. So it looks like they're trying to segment the iOS, which is catered more to the smartphone side of things, and now they've introduced iPad OS, which is for their tablets, the iPads.
Okay.
From what we can tell, it seems like there's a lot more focus on productivity. I've been able to use the iPad Pro, for example, which is kind of, it's being billed as a multitasking productivity device.
Mm.
But I find the operating system a little bit limiting in terms of really wanting to do kind of work or enterprise-focused stuff. So I'm hoping that the introduction of iPadOS and some of the tools that they're looking to bring onto that operating system will make iPads a bit more, I guess, enterprise-ready, if that makes sense.
So I wanted to find out, so if you have an older version of an iPad, are you going to be able to upgrade it to this iPad iOS, or does it come with the new versions of the iPads?
So like a lot of the stuff at WWDC, it'll be arriving later this year.
Mm.
It will depend on what kind of hardware you have. So I'm assuming if you have one of the older iPads or second or third generation iPads, you probably won't be able to upgrade to the new iPad OS.
Okay.
Yeah, so it looks like it's really tailored towards the newer versions of iPad or the iPad Pros.
Oh, okay.
Some of the tools that they've been working on, for example, now you can actually pin specific widgets to your homepage.
Okay.
Which is quite handy. Another thing that they mentioned now is a slide over tool. So you can pull in another app onto the side and interact with whatever you want to on that app while still having the other, your previous app open on the left side.
Oh, okay. That sounds a bit handy.
Yeah. Another nice thing that they're integrating now is support for USB drives or SD card readers. So if your USB drive or SD card reader is compatible or has support for the USB Type-C port, it should be able to slot into that iPad, I'm guessing one of the newer generations, and then you can import information. One of the cool things you saw them using it for was for photographers. So you can take your DSLR or mirrorless camera, and instead of having to, for example, use your Wi-Fi connection to, or Bluetooth connection to kind of port the images over, you can just use it with a cable. which is a bit quicker and probably a bit more stable as well. And then I think lastly on the iPad side, Apple have kind of refined the Apple Pencil, which is the little stylus they like to use. They've been able to reduce the latency from 20 milliseconds to 9 milliseconds, which is insane. So in terms of feedback when you're actually writing on the iPad, it should be a lot better. We haven't had the chance to test it out because a lot of this hardware isn't available in South Africa yet. But yeah, on paper, at least, it sounds very good. They're also introducing a few new gestures as well. Three-finger pinching and zooming gestures for copying and pasting, and then a three-finger swiping gesture to delete or cut. So instead of you having to shake your iPad, which is what you had to do previously in order to edit and stuff like that, you don't have to do that anymore, which is, I guess, good if you've got slippery hands and that iPad drops. Then we mentioned a bit earlier Catalina. So that's their new Mac OS. Here, again, like a lot of the software that Apple has shown off, there haven't been, I guess, any groundbreaking changes. What Apple has done, however, is the iTunes app, which has been a mainstay for Mac for quite some time now. They're splitting that up essentially into three different apps now. So you'll have Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, and Apple TV. So depending on what content you're looking for, you'll have to go to a specific application. So if, for example, you just want songs and you go want to check out your artists, you go to Apple Music. If you want podcasts, Apple Podcasts. And if you're looking for TV shows and stuff like that, you go to Apple TV. So they're segmenting it a bit.
Is it a good idea, though?
I'm a bit on the fence on it. To be fair, I haven't been using iTunes that often. I've kind of switched over to Spotify. But I guess I think that the uptake of Apple Music as a all-encompassing kind of platform hasn't been as good as Apple might have been hoping. So perhaps this segmentation will ensure that they have a kind of dedicated, pure kind of audience that they're reaching. So we'll see how it goes for them.
Maybe it's good news for Apple users. So I'm not an Apple user, so I can't comment that much on that one.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, like I said, I've kind of shifted away from iTunes, so perhaps this is, I guess, Apple kind of addressing what customers have been saying. So we'll see. One of the other cool things that they're introducing with Catalina is the ability to pair up your iPad or iPad Pro. So this would be quite interesting for graphic designers. Say, for example, that they want to use their MacBook Pro or iMac to look at a design application and want to start drawing, for example, on the iPad. So you have both screens up and running at the same time, which could be quite cool because I'm assuming a lot of graphic designers, when they go to the office, they'll have a two-screen setup as well. They might have their kind of display and then their MacBook Pro on the side. Now, when they're at home, they might not necessarily have a display at home, but they can still want to work. So now they can perhaps do that with it. If they have an iPad, they can pair the two up and kind of work like that. So again, we'll kind of see what the market kind of thinks about that and whether there's actually, whether Apple is just creating a new feature just for the sake of it, or whether this actually addresses a specific need from a consumer side. So we'll see how that goes. One of the other interesting things that they're introducing for not only this latest version of macOS, but the latest version of iOS is voice control. And this kind of extends further than just simply asking Siri to check the weather and stuff like that. You'll essentially be able to navigate through applications. You're able to do tasks. You're able to dictate so that a Word document can actually type up what you're saying. All via the use of your voice. And while I like the fact that Apple's actually not just made this for the Mac, but also for iOS, so you can do it on your phone as well.
That's nice.
Yeah, so at least they're trying to do something for, I guess, physically disabled people that might be struggling to enjoy the full range of capabilities available to on a Mac or an iPhone, which is a nice little touch.
And for those who are struggling to type.
Yeah, look, if you're struggling to type, it would depend how good you are at talking. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. One thing I haven't heard, though, is what kind of language support there's going to be for this. Apple showed a video of it obviously being used in English. So we still have to find out kind of what other language is going to support moving forward.
Hopefully it will also, what is it called? convert into some sort of some South African languages, you know.
Yeah, hopefully it's a translation tool. Perhaps there's a scope for an app developer to kind of meet that need. So we'll see how that goes. And then I think now on the hardware side of things, there was one announcement in particular that drew a lot of attention, and that is the new Mac Pro, which if you look at it, it's already getting quite a few people are saying it essentially looks like a big cheese grater.
Yes, I was going to ask, is it the same one that looks like a big cheese grater?
Yeah, it is the same one that looks like a big cheese grater. And to be fair, the people are saying that they're making those comments, yes, it does look like a really, really big cheese grater.
I was sort of confused when I saw the image. I wasn't sure whether I'm looking at an iPad or I'm looking at something else. I was like lost in translation. And then until I read the article, I was like, oh, okay. I'm looking at a computer.
Yeah, so I think perhaps the reason for the confusion is that Apple previously, when they had their previous Mac Pro, it had a cylindrical shape.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially it got called the trash can. Purely because the experience was so terrible on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Apple at that time were kind of caught in between wanting to design something that looked really great, but also had to deliver on the performance side of things. And while the trash can looked great, it didn't live up to the performance requirements. So I think now they've kind of realized that performance is going to be key. So they're calling this the most powerful Mac to date.
Doesn't look good, though.
You're not a fan of the design?
No, I'm not.
Right.
I mean, if it's the most powerful one, but the design doesn't look good.
Well, let's talk about what kind of performance Apple are saying they're going to get out of it. Mm-hmm. So they're calling it the most powerful one that they've made to date. So depending on what kind of internal setup configuration you opt for, you can get a workstation class Xeon processor. They're saying you can get up to 28 cores.
Okay.
And there's also space for 1.5 terabytes worth of storage. They're also calling this their most expandable or customizable Mac ever. So there are 8 PCIe expansion slots.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also designed a new graphics card housing. And again, depending on what kind of configuration you opt for, you can get up to 2 AMD Radeon Vega Pro Duo arrays.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, they were saying something in the region of 56 teraflops with the processing power, which is, if true, is amazing. Mm. Then to accompany the new Mac Pro, Apple also released their now a new panel in the form of the Pro Display XDR.
Yeah, I'm seeing here that it says that it is Apple's largest 6K Retina display to date.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so the X in the XDR, they're calling that extreme dynamic range.
Mm-hmm.
People obviously know about HDR, which is high dynamic range, and now Apple's kind of coining the phrase XDR.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so in terms of the resolution, you're getting 6,016 by 3,384, which essentially translates to 20 million pixels. So you're getting quite a rich, dense display here. Apple's also touting the brightness of this particular panel. They're saying that the peak brightness is around 1,600 nits. Mm-hmm. And they're also boasting about the fact that it can maintain a brightness of around 1,000 nits indefinitely. So in terms of brightness, clarity, it looks like it's going to tick all the necessary boxes. It also, on the back of the actual panel itself, it has that same cheese grater lattice aluminium design to it. So I guess they're kind of trying to keep the design language the same for both devices.
Hopefully we'll get to review this, and then maybe we can see, we can actually talk about a product that we've seen, you know.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to have to cross more than our fingers and toes for us to review, because the Mac Pro, we don't have local pricing yet. We only have pricing for the States, where it's available for pre-order now. It starts at $5,999. And if you kind of convert that at the current exchange rate, that's 86,540 Rand. That's where it starts at. So we're looking in excess of 100,000 Rand for the Mac Pro, depending on the configuration you're getting. And the Pro Display XDR isn't any cheaper.
Mm.
That one costs $4,999, which is essentially 72,000 Rand. So for this setup, you're going to be looking at something close to 200,000 Rand. So I know Apple has a long history of creating really beautiful devices, but have really high price tags.
Mm.
But then again, it hasn't really stopped people in the past.
And it hasn't, eh?
I know that in recent years, the iPhones haven't been selling as well purely for the price point. But when it comes to Mac Pro and now this new display, I think they're still definitely going to find a market for it. So we'll see how people react to the pricing. And when the pricing envelope does get announced for South Africa, we'll definitely keep our listeners and readers in the loop.
And if we do get it for review, we'll definitely tell you all about it.
Yeah. Yeah, fingers crossed on that one. yeah, so that's pretty much covers everything, all the announcements from, the key announcements from WWDC 19.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it looks like Apple are trying to refine a lot of the things on the software side of things. Privacy is a big thing for them, security, and also kind of productivity, specifically on the iPad side of things. So we'll see how developers react to it in the coming months, and then when it hits the market, how consumers are going to react to some of the changes. I know that on the hardware sides of things, particularly on the iPhone, Apple's been a bit lackluster in recent years. So mm-hmm. we should hopefully see whether they can change things up in that regard and whether iOS 13 is going to be the right kind of operating system for that. And Nokolunga, you weren't worried about Apple too much. You were actually worried more about the education side of things. You were looking at a rather interesting report around lawyers.
Yep. Last week, the Council on Higher Education in South Africa released a report. And then the report says that law graduates are found to be lacking in critical thinking.
Which degree are we talking about here?
LLB qualification, Bachelor of Laws.
All right.
Yeah. So they say that they were found to be lacking in critical thinking. And it's not only the report that says so. Apparently, it's the lawyers. When the graduates go to the law firms and things like that,
mm-hmm.
the lawyers are the ones that were complaining to the Council of Higher Education that the students are found to be lacking in critical.
So the new graduates thinking. That they are hiring are not.
Yes. So now the Department of Higher Education was given a recommendation by the Council of Higher Education on to increase the amount of years in which you can complete that degree.
Mm-hmm.
So the degree is completed in 4 years,
yeah.
but they've given a recommendation that the degree should be completed within 5 years, the minimum time.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they also complained about the amount of students per class, meaning that they're saying that the classes are too big. So we're not sure when this thing is going to be implemented because they didn't say when it's going to be implemented, but we're assuming maybe next year, if it's going to be implemented, it means that the classes are going to be much more lower. So for you to apply to study a degree in law, that means you have to apply early. Otherwise, you're not going to get a space.
Yeah, I think competition for space is going to probably be even more tough.
And even the lecturers were complaining. There's somewhere that it's written that the lecturers are saying they are blaming the institutions for the high number of students that attend a class. So it means that they can't actually focus on allowing the students to have critical thinking. I think just the students just learn from the book and they write. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think that's probably a greater problem for tertiary education in general.
Mm.
When these teenagers are finishing high school, it's a lot about what you learned in the book as opposed to how you can really apply it. I know that the education system has been trying to figure out different kind of models and seeing what the best approach is. But yeah, I think critical thinking is something that is sorely lacking. I mean, when I went to university, I did philosophy.
Mm.
And although I don't necessarily use the teachings of specific philosophers in my everyday life, the kind of critical thinking skills that I picked up as a result of studying philosophy has proved invaluable in my own profession. So I'm sure for something like law, mm. being able to think critically and analyze things is going to be vitally important. So
And you know, the report says that it's almost 17 South African universities. They actually named the universities, and you'd be surprised. It's not just the universities that are maybe in Limpopo and Eastern Cape.
So some of the bigger names.
Some of the bigger names are actually mentioned on this report, that they don't produce law graduates that have critical thinking. So.
Yeah, I took a look at the story. I don't remember seeing Wits University listed, and I thought that was quite interesting, purely for the fact that Wits for a long time has kind of looked at changing up the way it kind of handles its degrees and not doing undergraduate, but rather just focusing purely on the postgraduate side of things.
Mm.
From what I understand, I think the plan was scrapped or it's been put on the table, on the back burner for now, so I'm not too sure kind of what their thinking is around that. But yeah, it looks like... especially when it comes to law, that these students aren't necessarily prepared as well as they really should be.
Mm.
And it kind of also reminds me of a story you wrote recently as well around APSA and their Gen A program, graduate program. They were also kind of focusing as well on the kind of critical side of things as well as what's needed on STEM. Mm-hmm. That's right. Is that right?
Yes. So the APSA has launched the Gen A grad program. That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And then it focuses more on STEM-focused skills. So if you're a graduate and then you want to apply for this, you must know that you're going to be... the main focus is going to be on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also say that, according to APSA, they say that the program is going to teach leadership and other human behavioral skills that are taught mainly in arts and humanity degrees.
Mm.
So hopefully this is going to help, more especially as we can, right now we're talking about graduates leaving university without having critical thinking skills. So if this is going to teach you how to think and so forth, then I think it's a good idea for graduates to apply here.
Yeah, do you think anything could be done at the high school or primary school level in terms of critical thinking? Because, again, like you mentioned, a lot of the time, just like university, it's about what you can parrot fashion learn from a textbook and repeat when a test comes around.
But the thing for me that I'm thinking, the classes are too big.
Mm.
There are too many students for one teacher.
Sure.
So the teacher can't focus on what the children are lacking. You understand? So it's like, as long as you know what is written in the test book, as long as you can write what is written in the test book and pass on whatever is written in the test book, then it's good. For you to think and to make up your own mind on whatever the issue is, they can't focus on that. So if you can get more schools probably, or get more teachers, I don't know, or maybe there's some program that can teach teachers how to focus on the humanities side.
Yeah, I think teachers' load is pretty heavy as it is. A lot of the times, they get directed to say, get through the syllabus as efficiently as possible.
Yes.
And yeah, I think probably even from a teacher's perspective, critical thinking isn't something they're necessarily taught to impart onto children.
And maybe they should have, you know, some sort of... You remember when we were in high school, we had PE and all of those other extramural activities in school. Maybe they should introduce a class that is critical thinking as an extramural class.
Yeah, well, I mean, what is life orientation at the moment?
Yeah, there's life orientation.
So perhaps building some kind of critical thinking components into that might be a good idea. Yeah. Unfortunately, the education system in South Africa needs a real big rethink.
It does. Because if you look at the stats and all the reports that we find and we write on, there's a lot of things that are just not going so great. And there's a lot of things that South Africa hasn't met in terms of the... there's this world... the National Development Plan.
Mm.
There's a lot of things in terms of the National Development Plan that South Africa hasn't met. And you must remember, it says that by the year 2021, they were supposed to have met half of those things. So it's like a year and a half from 2021, and like half of those things are not even met. So we don't know what the new cabinet is going to do about that. We hope that they're going to do some sort of changes, you know.
Yeah, it should be quite rather interesting. It should be rather concerning to see what is and isn't being done. you know, we talk a lot about STEM degrees and jobs of the future and things like that. But as important as those aspects are, being able to think critically, being able to analyze situations in a critical manner, are these kind of softer skills that aren't taught. And children, I'm guessing, are lacking, or are going to start lacking quite a bit in that regard. So.
And it's quite difficult, you know, when you get into to the workspace when you don't have critical thinking. You know, those things are needed in the workspace, whether you're IT engineer or whatever else, you're going to need those things.
Yeah.
You know, it's not only about the book, about exactly what you read, about exactly what you studied, but you still need to have critical thinking skills to communicate with your with the other employees, to communicate with your peers, you know, to communicate in the social media.
Yeah, a lot of things for the education department and people higher up to think about there. And, yeah, I think that's going to do it for this week. Like I said, just the two of us. So, yeah. So I think that's from me, Romney Che. I'm signing off. Take it easy.
And from me, Nogulunga Kala. Bye.
Cheers.